last week, we started a new series entitled The United States of Addiction. And this is the working definition that we're using this series for what an addiction is. An addiction is any repetitive choice that results in something having control over us. We're going to talk about how these repetitive choices actually can affect our brains, can affect our minds. And this is something that we see in Scripture today. In the book of Romans, Romans 8, verse 5, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. It says that there are two natures. There is our natural nature, and then there's when nature calls. Actually, some people have two natures. All of us have a natural nature that has a propensity for doing that which is wrong at birth. And then, if and when a person decides to receive Christ into their life, the Holy Spirit comes in, and there is now a spiritual nature. And the process of figuring out what I really want is a process of turning our mind towards who God is. And the question for us today is whether or not we will have God transform our desires. We start a new series called An Addiction. And the operating definition we're using for this series is this: any repetitive choice that results in something having control over us. When we make choices that we lose control, it actually affects our minds. That's why the Bible talks so much about our mind. In one passage, Romans 8, chapter 5, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. This says that there are two natures: the natural nature and when nature calls. That was a good one. I like that one. And actually, what it says is that when you make a decision to become a Christ follower, if and when you do, you actually get another nature. In addition to your natural nature that has a propensity to do that which is wrong, you get another nature, the spiritual nature, and you can make choices that are in line with the natural nature or your spiritual nature, and the process of breaking free is the renewing of the mind. And that's the goal, is to come to a place where we are transformed, and that includes our desires. Awesome. Last week we started a new series called The United States of Addiction. And the operating definition we're using is this: any repetitive choice that results in something having control over us. So we're talking about the mind and how our mind can have control over us if we have these repetitive choices. Scripture talks about the transforming of the mind. Romans 8:5, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It says there's two natures: the natural nature and when nature calls. That's a good one, isn't it? I love that line. And so all of us have this natural nature, which is in us by birth. We naturally do things. We naturally search after our own ways and desire our own ways. And if and when someone becomes a Christ follower, the Bible teaches that God implants His Spirit and we get a new nature, a spiritual nature. And then life is oftentimes the battling of this natural nature, the propensity to do that which is wrong, in this spiritual nature. And what God wants is full transformation, including the transformation of our desires. Man, aren't they great? Last week we started a new series. No, we're not going to do it anymore. All right, give me this. Get out of here. You guys are done. Get out of here. Now, what was happening there? Aside from annoying you, what was happening there? There was some addictive properties that were happening there. There was something that was it really kind of gave us a charge, like, oh, yeah, you know, like that's, you know, it gave us a charge, the energy. You know, and the second time around, yeah, okay, I'm great to listen to this song again. Third time around, Maybe we would have changed it up. Maybe we would have done a different song. Maybe we would have added some other instruments. Maybe we would have done something. You know, it could have really kept up there. But this is what happens with addictions. When we make repetitive choices, one of the reasons they have control over us is because we need more to get the same buzz we just had. We need more. We just can't take the same thing. We need more to get that control, to get that buzz. And then we end up losing control. And this is not a psychological thing if we define psychology as some metaphysical thing that I don't fully understand. This is actually a neurological thing. It's actually tied into actual science. I've got here my little thing here. I've got you might think that looks like a ginger root. It really isn't. It's actually a brain stem, also called the inner brain. And you might think those are toothpicks, but they're not. They're actually nerve endings that go into what you might think is balls, but it's not. It's actually eyes. That's what that is. And then what you do is you add this to it, and what you have, this is an actual brain. This is an actual brain. Now, here's what, and really, this is what it looks like. This is your brain stem, it's your inner brain. This is also called your outer brain, a number of different things. The way this works is what you see stimulates here, and it spreads out and affects all of your brain, and the same with your ears, same with your taste, all of your senses. And throughout this entire brain region are neurotransmitters, and there's synapses, which is sort of like gaps you see between the string up here. And the synapses are the little fraction of a millimeter space between the nerve endings that send messages back and forth. And throughout this whole process, when we get certain feelings, endorphins start firing and all this stuff happens to where there's actually something chemically that is happening in the brain when we hear a song, when we see an image, when we taste something, when we think something. And this brain is actually moldable. It is actually changeable. And we can tend to look for something else to give us a buzz. This is, by the way, one of the reasons why gambling can be a certifiable addiction. Some of you go, oh, gambling can't be addiction. Some of you might say, fear can't be addiction. Some of you might say, no, insecurity can't be addiction. Some of us might say, gossip can't be addiction. It can be an addiction as much as gambling can be. Anybody ever shoot up a card? Anybody ever chew on cards and get a gambling addiction? No, what happens? What happens is the event, the repeated choice to make that choice over and over again, for some people, fires off these chemicals and they get addicted to that chemical just going. And they need the feeling of the certain chemical in the neural pathways, of the chemicals going through that pathways, and the bubbling of that stuff. That is what they thrive on, and we need to get something newer and bigger. We've got to be careful of our choices, by the way, with this. I was doing some research on this. I found Harvard is doing a thing on addictions and gambling, and I saw a little thing on their website, or this website, about this whole thing. And then I saw where it was located. I went down a little further. I said, well, I wonder where this gambling addiction conference is. You know, and it's in Las Vegas. This is where it is, the MGM Grand. I'm like, I don't know if that's the best place to have a gambling addiction convention. I'm not sure if that's the best place. Not a wise choice. Not a wise choice. I just got back this just today. Our staff, board of spiritual directors, all our spouses go annual kind of outing. We go to a conference and we do some things away and have fun. And one of the things that's turned into a tradition is for some of us in the bus ride on the way down is to get a game of cards going. Of course, being a pastor, Uno is as much as I'll do. You know, doing Uno. I won't do any other kind of card. No. We played Texas Hold'em the whole way down, the whole way back. For money, I might add, for money. And it was actually very fun. We started that whole thing out. And of course, you know what happens. You got a long trip all the way down to Atlanta. That pot's got to gradually jack up higher and higher because you want to get that feeling, that same rumble. This is what happens with all of the choices that we make. We want to get that buzz. We want to get that feeling. And actually, in the brain. We want the feel of those chemicals or those regions in our brain that are firing off. There's a reason why we see even food. We just see it for some of us. And it does something to us. It's not, you're not crazy. Something is happening up here. For some of us, it's a feeling that we become addicted to and we lose control. Now, I know that you don't believe me. You know, you don't believe me that, you say, Brian, come on. I mean, you're not, you know. Yeah, I expect me to talk about the Bible, but you don't know jack about the brain. Well, maybe, but I know a person who does. Please welcome on our stage, Keith Crutcher. Come on, Gup, Keith, come. Keith Crutcher, great to see you, Keith. What's your official title?
Well, I'm a professor in the Department of Neurosurgery and Director of Research there at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center.
So, you know, we can't say that, yes. And a very own part of our church, Crossroads, and we can't say that, you know, this is, you know, you're no brain scientist, because you are, actually. First of all, how did I do on this? Did I do okay on that whole thing?
It's actually quite accurate, I must say. I was very impressed by the brain itself. Yes. It's quite similar to the real thing.
So talk to me about some of your learnings about brain chemistry, neuroscience, and how that might tie into addiction.
Well, basically everything you said is completely accurate in terms of the effect of certain behaviors on our brain. In fact, one of the surprising discoveries over the past decade or so is that not only are new connections formed in the brain as we are exposed to different stimuli, there are actually new nerve cells born in the brain. That was actually thought to be completely impossible, but now it's known that not only can new connections form, but actually new neurons can form and actually become incorporated into those connections.
I first started getting turned on to this thing when I read a book a couple years ago. I think we have a scan of it called Neuroplasticity, or The Mind and the Brain, Neuroplasticity and the Laws of Mental... I can't remember the subtitle. But basically the whole idea of this was that people with obsessive compulsive disorder, there's a therapy system to actually help rewire your brain. And this is actually... This is not accurate because it's hard, but there's very plastic in nature and it can be rewired and people can actually rewire their brains, literally rewire their brains. So the same addictions or the compulsive things that they've had going on, they can actually hardwire those out of their brain.
Exactly. I think the other discovery that's been a little bit surprising is it used to be thought that the ability to do that was only available as you were a youngster. But now there's increasing evidence to suggest that even us old folks can rewire our brains. But it has to be a concerted effort. That is, you have to actually change your behavioral patterns. Mm. It's something that requires continual attention to what you do and what you see and what you spend your time and your effort on.
Proverbs, you know, one of the passages in the Bible says, "As a man thinketh, so is he. As a person thinketh, so is he." So. And there's also another one in, I think we have on the screen, Romans 12:2, that says that, therefore be transformed. Do not conform by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't think that the people who wrote these things under the inspiration of God had any understanding of neurochemistry at all. But it's very interesting to me. The exact verbiage that's in here actually ties in very nicely with modern-day neuroscience.
It's amazing, actually. You look at those scriptures. Another one that comes to mind is in Proverbs, where it says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and as he grows old, he will not depart from it. That also is very in tune with what we know about our ability as the younger we are, the more capable we are of actually learning the right ways to behave. And it's a tremendous responsibility as parents to recognize that what we train our children to do will not, in many ways, set the patterns for their life. But there's still hope that even if those patterns haven't been correctly set, they can be recorrected with the kind of attention that we were talking about.
How is this affecting you? How many potential addictions that you've got to be careful for?
Well, you mentioned last week, I think, the potential for sexual addiction. I certainly would have to say that certainly crops up in my life. And I think it's the kind of thing that, you know, I mean, we're men are wired to be very much in tune to their sexual nature.
Physically, you're saying there's evidence to that?
Oh, there's no question about that, yeah. And society, you know, obviously plays on that. I mean, they advertise to that. They are continuously taking advantage of that fact and trying to provide new ways of exciting the male sexual appetite. So we need to guard against that. We need to be aware of the kinds of things we expose ourselves to and try to get into a situation where we are not put in the path of temptation, which is to use this sort of scriptural words on that.
What else about things that any of us might think about or what we might expose ourselves to in the world of neurochemistry could be become addictive or become a stepping stone to an addiction?
Well, actually, in theory, just about anything can become addictive in this way. The other example I've thought of is we think about shopping, and people are sometimes surprised to find that shopping can be considered an addiction. But basically, any behavior that you find is what you need to feel good, that is the first sign that it's an addiction. And so it ultimately leading to this situation where you don't have control over it. It really does have control over you, which is why your working definition of addiction is actually very good.
Say it again. So anything that you need to do to feel good could
yes.
become an addiction.
Yes. So if your ability to feel like life is worth living or now I feel happy is tied to some kind of behavior like that, where you say, okay, well, the only time I feel happy is if I'm shopping. The only time I feel happy is if I'm, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it doesn't matter. Then it has the potential for being addictive, for actually controlling your life, as opposed to, for example, the other idea is a habit that you have control over. Now, there are also good and bad habits, but the idea there is that you're choosing what habit to institute. The question is whether or not that habit is something that potentially could lead to an addiction. And again, we need to guard against that.
Hmm. Any just closing thoughts or counsel you might have for us?
Well, I think this all sounds a little bit academic, maybe, and I'm an academician, so that's probably why.
And you don't look like one either.
Oh, I know. I'm sure I don't. But you know, as a Christ follower, I found that, for example, the kinds of patterns that I set for my own life have a tremendous impact on how I behave. Just setting aside time in the morning, for example, to read Scripture and spend some time in prayer, that habit actually is, I find, a protection against some of these other temptations. So I think there really is a need to try to think about ordering our days, our activities, in terms of transforming to this new mind that Paul talks about.
It's funny that we're supposed to order our minds, but really when we live in America, you know, as this shows, somebody is already ordering our mind. Our mind is already being ordered. It's a matter of who's ordering it. I think there's probably in America we make lawyer jokes because there's so many lawyers, but they're surpassed by the number of counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists, and actually, unfortunately, we need them. I say unfortunately, not because you shouldn't go. We shouldn't go to that. I've been to a counselor before, but because we're in a society, there's a hotbed for addiction, isn't it? Why do you think that is?
Well, advertisers, for example, know a lot of this stuff. They know the kinds of triggers that will get people engaged, get them to identify with particular products as being satisfying. You know, frankly, I go out of my way to avoid watching commercials. It sounds like a silly thing, but I know that they know the kinds of triggers that can have an impact on me. So that's the kind of thing where I'd say, you know, maybe for some people that's not an issue, but for me, I want to try to avoid letting someone else control my desires. And
you talked about how it was like walking through a field, you know, a dirt field. I think you showed that illustration.
Exactly. Cool. Well, it's the way these patterns are set up is essentially if you think about walking through a field that no one's ever been through before, but the next time you go back, you realize you're going to go back to the same path because it's already worn down a bit. And that's essentially what's happening in the brain. Every time you repeat a behavior, every time you repeat a particular activity, you get these pathways laid down. So it's easier and easier to follow those paths. So it becomes very important to decide which pathways you're going to lay down.
Awesome. Thank you, Keith. Everyone give him a... Oh, man. I mean, this is one of those times, and there's actually many, 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 many times, you know, where the physical scientific world intersects perfectly with the spiritual world. And the spiritual world, the instructions in the midst of this book have been given long, long before there was ever a single neuroscientist. One of the follow-up books to that neuroplasticity book is a book called Brain Lock. And the guy talks about four different steps that you can take to try to rewire your brain. And he actually says in the book that this is helpful for obsessive compulsive disorders and addictions. And the steps for me aren't all that important, but what is important is that there is repeated effort that anybody can give to rewire your and my mind. I've been trying to spend time with people who are in the midst of recovery, just trying to get a sense of what that's like. And by the way, if you're wondering to yourself, man, I wonder if I have one of those classic addictions, classic addiction, what we call around here the big five of alcohol or drugs, or if I'm addicted to food, or if I'm addicted to sex, or if I'm addicted to gambling. If you're just wondering, I wonder if I have one of those classic addictions, we've got a special thing that's happening just to help you understand. I think you got it in your program. Just to help you discern whether or not you might have one of those classic addictions. And I encourage you to do that. In fact, if you're not sure if that has control over you or not, and you're intimidated enough to not go there the first night, let me tell you something, it's got control over you. It's got control over you, because it's already telling you, no, I can't go there. I'm afraid of what I would find out. I'm afraid of what I might find out. And I'm interacting with some of those folks that are kind of running that ministry, and I'm learning that, you know, recovery isn't an event. It's not an event. There are times, like we had Betty last week, who had an instantaneous thing where Jesus did an unbelievable thing and healed her of cocaine and other drug addictions. That does happen. God can rewire brains or do whatever it can at a flick of a switch because he is God. But unfortunately, he tends to not do that all the time. If we walk ourselves into a field and walk certain ruts over a long period of time, God's going to use a growth process that might look very similar of us walking back out of the field and recreating healthy pathways into a different place. One of the mantras of people who are in AA is 90 meetings in 90 days. And if you can do it more than once, do it more than once. Why is that? It's because that repeated thing, I've got to go meet, I've got to sit, I've got to hear somebody's story, I've got to think about whether I'm going to tell my story, that's helping in the process of rewiring and coming to a place of healing. You know, you can virtually try any spirituality, and some Christians get really freaked out about this. Some Christ followers are like, man, you know, all spiritualities, if it's not centered in the middle of Jesus, are bad. And, well, not necessarily. Not necessarily if you understand that virtually any spirituality does have some positive benefits to it. Am I personally, do I find in my times of prayer that I want to sit and kind of do a lotus position and pray? No, I don't see any reason biblically why I couldn't do that. I kind of feel strange doing it right now, but what happens when someone does partake of that form of meditation? You're concentrating. You're doing a repeated thing that's actually having an impact on your brain. There might be a reason why you feel more relaxed. It might have nothing at all to do with that you actually got in touch with the real spirit. It could have nothing at all to do with the fact that the real God just visited you and is doing something in your life. But you're doing something that is at least healthy. You're slowing down. There's a repeated choice that you're making that could be having a physiological effect on us. You know, there is hope for all of us in whatever our addiction is throughout the whole thing. There is hope through numerous, numerous means out there. But there is an unbelievable amount of hope and power for those who choose to say, I want this whole spiritual nature. I want this thing where Jesus actually comes into my life and gives me a new nature. When that happens, it's not like Jesus comes in and just immediately transforms you. He does come in and he is the healer. He does come in and he will start the healing process. He will start doing things inside of ourselves that nobody outside of us can do. He's the great healer. But one of the things that he also does is he gives us wisdom and knowledge to go about the renewal process of our mind. One of the passages speaks to this is the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4, and it says this. It says, surely you heard of him, and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You've heard of this spiritual transformation that he brings about. Surely you have. And then it goes and gives application. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, that's your natural nature, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, to put off the normal self, to put off the natural self that naturally grew to be who you were at 45, 59, 16, whenever. Put that old self off, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And put on the new self. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There is this thing that happens when God invades your life, when Christ invades your life, where there is a new nature that you have, a brand new nature that you have. And actually, technically, in the Bible, that old nature is actually killed. It's dead. It's gone away. But there's remnants of it. There's memory muscle from it. There's patterns that are still a part of who we are. And we have to go through the regular process of putting off our old self, putting off the old patterns, putting off the old mindsets, and regular process of taking on the new stuff, taking on the right attitudes, taking on the right thought patterns, taking on the right disciplines. I had one of those, man, I guess I'm out of it as a parent moments a few weeks ago. I was trying to tell my daughter, Lena, my 13-year-old, that I'm actually a cool dad. You know, of course, you're always in... Whenever you have to tell someone you're cool, you're not. You know, so I was trying to tell her, like, you have no idea how dorky my dad was, Lena. You have it so good, you know, because I am, like, cool. And you're like, Dad, you're not cool. What do you mean I'm cool? I'm definitely cool. She said, no, Dad, you're not cool. I said, I am cool. Yes, I am. She said, Dad, can tell me one song in the top 10. And I was like, Who Are You by The Who? That one? I said, no, you know. I couldn't identify a single one, and I was kind of ashamed of myself, actually, because I really think that as a Christ follower, I need to stay engaged with the culture, and I don't think I should lock myself off in some, you know, holy huddle. And so I was kind of like, wow, this is weird. I guess I can't name one right now. And then I stopped to not feel too bad about it anymore, because I realized that I can't listen to all the things that I used to listen to. I can't see all the things that I used to see and kill off the remnants of my old nature. I just can't do it. I can't sit in the car and listen to top 40 music 24/7 like I used to and have the right things going in my mind that will transform me. I need to listen to music that is spiritual in nature. It talks about Jesus, talks about his transforming power. I need to listen to people. I listen to tapes about people who talk about the scriptures, and I need that. And I listen to secular stuff and enjoy it as well, but I've got to be in a regular pattern, trying to renew my mind. I can't just read, you know, Men's Health and Fitness, which I do, or Sports Illustrated. I've got to read stuff that actually builds into me and I think about. So I got to get up every morning, or at least most mornings, 6 o'clock, and I got to read this thing. Or I go off, and some people think, well, gosh, since you're a pastor, you just kind of go into work and you have Bible screensavers. That's when you read the Bible, right? Because you don't do anything, right? You don't do anything, Brian. You just go in there and then you come up on stage, you wing it, you know? No. I have a regular job just like you do. And I got to get up before that. And for my own spiritual formation, for my own renewing of my mind, I've got to spend time reading this. And sometimes I might get done and go, gosh, I have no clue what I just read. But yet, I'm going to trust that in some way, shape, or form it's going to impact me. I've got to pray. I've got to spend time praying and thinking. And the point is not to give a legalistic prescription and say, okay, so everybody must get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, or nobody must listen to top 40 music, or everybody must pray. That's not the point. The point is, you must think of something that will renew yourself. There must be things in your mind to renew your pathways, to renew your mind. Here's a weird one. Do you realize that I don't know a single scripture that tells us to order our emotions? There's not a single one that I can think of that says to order our emotions. The Bible does not say, stop being angry. It says stuff like, in your anger, do not sin. The Bible doesn't say, don't be depressed. But the Bible does tell us to do is order our mind. We can order our thought patterns. We can order what goes into it. And then out of that, the emotions start to naturally flow the way the emotions should naturally flow. So we get angry when we should get angry. So we get incredibly sad when we should get incredibly sad. So when we laugh when we should be laughing. And there's this regular process that never stops. I thought about this as I was at this conference. I was sitting there, and this is one of my potential addictions. I told you I got a lot of them. I don't have long enough series to tell you about all my addictions or potential addictions. But I'll tell you one of my at least potential addictions is to like affirmation. It's to like affirmation and crave affirmation. So when I go to a conference and I look at someone speaking, I think to myself, I could do that. I could do that. And oftentimes I go, dude, you sucked. That was bad. And I'll sit there and I learn and I'm having positive self, but I have this constant thing, the old self. That old self in me whispers stuff of, hey, try to get noticed. Try to have people see you. Do things, say things so people like you. It's constant. And then the weird thing is, one person got canceled from the program. And so my old nature tells me, oh man, maybe they'll ask you. So I'm walking at lunch break. Phone rings. Don't recognize the area code. Pick it up. And it's actually a guy who runs a conference. I'm like, and I can feel my old nature telling me all kind of things. And he was calling for no other reason other than to say hi. And I recognize, now my old nature will tell me things and it'll make my juices were boiling inside. And I had to go, you know, stuff like, seek not after your own understanding. To think through, just God, I recognize that thought. I put that thought off and I recognize that you are all I need to affirm me. Nobody else, you. And just in thinking that and talking that with God, I start getting changed. And one of the things the Bible says is, pray at all times without ceasing. Is it saying don't have a job and sit on your knees all day? No. Saying as you go about your day, talk with God. Dial in. And what happens? Your mind starts to get renewed. This is another cool thing that happens in this passage. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. In the Bible, whenever you see the word therefore, you ask yourself, well, what's that there for? That's what you always do. And what it's there for, that sounds really like funny. It's actually very profound. Think on these things. What it's actually there for is because it's pointing back to the previous section and saying this is an application and a build on what was just said. And so what was just said is, you didn't learn Christ in the way that would make you feel like you were less than. Your old self is off. Take off the old self, put on the new self. And by the way, I'm sorry to get a little technical on us today. In the Greek, which was originally written, it means keep doing it. It's in the infinitive. I remember we used to get in arguments with my brothers and sisters, you know, who could count higher. And I'd say, oh yeah, well, infinity. And they'd say, well, there's no number of infinity. Yeah, there is. Of course, everyone knows infinity is the highest. Well, this is in the infinitive case, which means you do it over and over and over and over, and then you regularly say, I got to take that off of my life. I got to take that attitude out. I cannot fear that kind of stuff. That's ridiculous. I cannot be insecure about that. I cannot tie one on again. I cannot snort that again. I cannot go to the bathroom and stick my finger down my throat again. I cannot. I must take off all of those things and ready for one. Put on the idea of, God, you care for me. God, you love me. God, you don't want this to happen. One of the things in the four steps in brain lock is to, number one, relabel. They tell people of OCD, when you first feel the urge to go and wash your hands for the 40th time in the last 3 minutes, and you recognize that, you relabel that this is a function of my brain that is doing this. This is not me. This is my OCD telling me to do this. This is not me. Relabeling it. One of the things that you do when you become a Christ follower is when you have these urges that you feel like you're out of control with, you're very tempted to go, man, I'm an awful person. God, you just are really sick of me, aren't you? I can't believe I'm doing this again. And what you do is you relabel and you say, this is not who I am. This is not me. God, you've put your spirit in me. That's who I am. I am your child. I am not this addiction. I am not an alcoholic. I might be a person who struggles with alcoholism, but I before you, my identity is not a gambling addict. This is something inside of me that's unhealthy and it's old that needs to be put off. That's what I am. And so when it says here, therefore each of you must put off falsehood, what's the falsehood? They're not saying put off, just go ahead and like tell people they're wrong. They're saying the falsehood, put off the falsehood of thinking that you're connected with your old self. Put off the falsehood of thinking you can't overcome. Put off the falsehood of thinking you can't renew your mind. And speak truthfully to your neighbor. Speak to one another. We need people outside of us building into us. Put it off. It's a state of the mind. It's real. It's spiritual. It can be changed. I'm going to go through a little exercise right now with us. Why don't we go and bow our heads right now? Let's go before God and see if He might do something very significant for us. Now, if you're a Christ follower, this is going to be a very literal thing for you, where you're going to think of the old self and the new self, all the character qualities of Christ that reside in you. And if you're not a Christ follower, you can still get some benefit out of this, because you might be able to think about things that are not right in your life and good things you need to add to your life. But just think, if you will, about the old self. What is your old self? The old self. You might think of attitudes, behaviors. You might think of images right now. You might be thinking naturally black areas in your heart. Objects in your heart that are not healthy. You might even be thinking, now we talk about the brain, you might be thinking about images in your brain and how your synapses are firing. And you might be thinking of things residing in specific parts of your brain, just metaphorically. Whatever you're thinking, whatever the old self is, take it off right now. Take it off. Just put it away. Hey God, I confess this to you. I confess this is the old self, remnants of it, and needs to be gone. I confess it to you. I call it out. I name it. I name that thing, and I tangibly right now walk away from it. I walk away from it. I put it off. I'm sorry. I confess it. Some of you just got a dirty, nasty coat on. Your old self is just completely covering you. It's old. It's got patches in it. It's caked with filth and dirt. Buttons are worn off. Flies have made their nest in it. But yet it cloaks your identity, because that may be who you still are, because God has not invaded you and you've not taken that off. Take it off. Take it off. Christ invade us, invade those who want invaded, invade those who want to give their hearts to you. Think about, you just can't take something off. You know, you take something off and you're naked. You take it off and you're cold. You're exposed. You've got to take something off, you've got to put it on regularly. The Bible says that whatever is good, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. Think on these things. God, I think about how loving you are, and I just think of your love cloaking me. God, I think about how wise you are, and I think about your wisdom just falling upon me like a drape. God, I think about some of the speakers that I sat and perhaps negatively judged, and I just put on great thoughts about them. Say thank you for those people. Thank you for them all. I just put on and I make myself re-aware of this idea, God, that I am not my sins. I am not my problems. You are bigger than my problems, my sins, and my potential addictions or my addictions. And you cover those. Thank you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, desire is not bad. We have desires because God has created us to have desires. Desires are bad if we desire something more than God. And God would look to all of us and say, I just desire you. That's all I desire. I desire you, and for you to walk in the clean cloak that I've custom tailored for you. All right. Thanks for coming. Get out of here. Renew your mind tomorrow. We'll see you.